Well, good morning. Good morning. There we go. If you have your Bibles, turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Hey, Evan. Good to see you. We are continuing our series in Ephesians, brought to life and brought together, and we're looking at the spiritual battle we face in Ephesians chapter 6. I had three books up here, but it looks like somebody grabbed them and maybe put them away. There's three books that I want to recommend to you. The first one is called The Adversary by Mark Bubeck. It is an older book, but it is a great primer on spiritual warfare and the work of the enemy in our lives. Second one, which I think is very helpful, particularly if you battle with thoughts that are either destructive or that are just filled with unbelief in your mind. It's called The Bondage Breaker by Neil Anderson, and I have recommended that book out for 20 years for people that struggle with their thought life. And then the third book, which is more just another overview of spiritual warfare by Clinton Arnold, and I think it's called Three Questions on Spiritual Warfare. And so those are in the back in the book case, and you can pick those up if you want. If you can't afford it, don't get it. No, if you can't afford it, we will provide it for you. So just grab it and take it. So we are still looking at Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 13 today. There was just stuff that Matt didn't cover and I didn't cover the first week, so I wanted to finish that up today and look at some things that we haven't looked at in that text. And today's message is stand strong. Simple. Stand strong. And the passage is really simple. Paul begins in verse 10 by telling us that we need to be spiritually strong, or that we need to be strong by putting on the armor of God. And we see that in verses 10 and verses 11. And then second of all, Paul tells us why we need to be spiritually strong. And he describes in verses 11 and 12 that our battle is not one against flesh and blood. It's not against other human beings, but it's against spiritual beings, specifically the devil and his henchmen, you could call them, okay? And then finally, in verse 13, Paul calls us to take up the armor of God, to stand strong, because you and I are in a spiritual battle. Whether you feel it or not, whether you realize it or not, whether you see it or not, you as a follower of Christ, you are in a spiritual battle against the forces of evil. If you are not a Christian, the Bible describes your condition as under the power and the influence of Satan. We'll talk a little bit about that. And so if you're not a Christian, you should be concerned about that. I mean, here's the reality of it, is that in Ephesians chapter 2, Paul talks about non-Christians being under the influence and the sway of Satan, yet they don't know it. They think that they have freedom in expressing their desires and wants and will however they want, when really they are in bondage to evil. That was a little free. It wasn't part of my message. But so let's read Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 13. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. Because we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all that you can, stand firm. While conducting maintenance in the international waters of the Caribbean Sea, the crew of the civilian cruise ship, the RCGS Resolute, spotted a Venezuelan Coast Guard vessel on March 30th. How many of you read about this? Heard about this? You got to listen carefully. According to the crew of the Portuguese-flagged but German-owned cruise ship, the Venezuelan patrol boat, the Neguatu, directed the cruise ship to follow it to a Venezuelan port. When the crew of the Resolute refused, citing their rights to be in international waters, a crewman of the Venezuelan vessel fired warning shots from an automatic weapon. When that didn't turn the Resolute to port, the 262-foot Negueta attempted to ram the 409-foot Resolute. So you have a Coast Guard ship, military Coast Guard ship, going up against a civilian cruise ship. Designed for sailing through ice-covered waters, the Resolute took the blow well, while the collision ruptured the hull of the Venezuelan vessel and sank it. Other Coast Guard boats rescued the crew of the Venezuelan vessel while the Resolute sailed on to her next port. We need spiritual strength to fight against the devil's schemes. You and I need spiritual strength that we receive from Christ to be able to stand against, not give in to the schemes of the devil, or as we've seen, it's also called Satan. So let's pray. Father, I just thank you for this day. I thank you that as we sang today in that old hymn, you have defeated our foe. You have disarmed him by the cross. And Lord, we pray today that you would come by your Spirit and bring forth both light to our minds, that we would see you more clearly and our enemy more clearly. But Lord, I also ask that you would come by your Spirit and that you bring heat to our hearts, that we would, our resolve to follow you faithfully would grow, and our resolve to stand against the schemes of the enemies would be set in stone, in a sense. And Lord, we ask that you come through the gift of teaching and preaching. Lord, I radically need you to work in and through me. And we radically need you by your Spirit to give us ears to hear, that we would hear truth, not just that would inform us, that would just not just give us more information, but would spiritually feed us and nourish us and encourage us to fight the good fight. In Jesus' name, amen. So the first thing that I want to bring out from this text is we need spiritual strength. We need spiritual strength. We see this in verses 10 and 11. Look at it. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. How do we do that? We put on the whole armor of God so that you can stand against the schemes of the enemy. So first of all, Paul tells us that we need to seek Christ's power. And we saw that in verse 10 where he says, be strong in the Lord. We are to strengthen ourselves in the Lord by putting on the whole armor of God. And next week, we're going to look at what the armor of God means, because if you listen to preachers preach that, they talk about doing things physically and describing it in physical forms. And really what it means is that it's a metaphor that describes how we are strong in the Lord. So for instance, when he talks about fastening or having fastened the belt place of righteousness, he's not telling us that we get up every morning and we actually do that. What he's saying is that we trust and put our hope in truth, and we rely in it when we live out, walk out our Christian life. When he says to put on the breastplate of righteousness, he's talking about resting in the finished work of Christ for our righteousness, rather than relying on our own righteousness, so that when the enemy comes against us and says that you're not good enough, you say, yeah, you're right, I'm not good enough, but Christ was good enough for me, so there. Yeah, boom, mic drop. So we need supernatural strength because we are in a supernatural battle with our enemy, which leads us to our second point, is that our battle is against a supernatural enemy. He says, your battle is against a supernatural enemy, and he describes it two ways. First of all, we need spiritual strength because our enemy is described as the devil, who is a supernatural spiritual being, not a material being. And then second of all, he says you need spiritual strength because your battle is not against flesh and blood, but it's against powers and principalities, which we'll discuss, or rulers and authorities. So he's saying is that your battle is not a natural battle against other people, but your battle is a supernatural spiritual battle. So let's look at that first one. We need strength because our enemy, we need supernatural strength because our enemy is the devil. As I said, he's a supernatural being, and human strength is no match for the devil. Human strength is no match for the devil. You are up against an enemy that you cannot avoid, nor can you stand against in your own strength. The early church describes in Acts 19 some Jewish exorcists who were not believers in Christ, but they were Jews, and they would go around and try to exorcise demons out of people. And they saw the fruit of the disciples' ministry amongst demonized people. And so they thought, hey, if they're doing it by invoking the name of Jesus, we can do that. So they went to this demonized guy, this guy who was demon-possessed, and they said, I adjure you by the name of Jesus Christ to come out of the man. And you know what the demon said to him? It says, Jesus I know, Paul I've heard of, but you're nobody. And so the demonized guy overpowered them, and it says that they ran off naked and hurt with their tail between their legs. Why? Because human strength is not able to fight against a supernatural being. You need supernatural power given to us by Christ to face your enemy, who's a supernatural spiritual being called the devil or Satan. You cannot stand against the devil in your own strength, and to try is spiritual suicide. To try to face the devil, Satan, or any of his army in your own strength is to commit spiritual suicide. It's like the Venezuelan Coast Guard ship going up against the cruise ship. You will do nothing to the cruise ship, but you will sink yourself. And so verse 10, 11, he says, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God so that you are able to stand against the schemes of the devil. If you want to summarize that, he says, you cannot fight in your own strength. If you cannot stand against the devil in your own strength. To stand, or in verse 13, he'll describe, use the same language or modify. He says, withstand or stand firm against the schemes of devils really means to not give in. That is, you stand your ground and you don't cave in, you don't fall, and you don't succumb to the schemes of the enemy, Satan. For every weakness you and I have, the devil has endless ways to exploit you. The devil knows your weaknesses. He knows your inclinations. And all of us have different weaknesses. All of us have different inclinations, right? And he has an infinite number of ways in which to exploit those weaknesses, in which to exploit your inclinations. And when you think you've mastered that weakness in one way, he will come another way. Because he is relentless and will not give up until he has to give up. The devil's schemes have one purpose in mind. Listen to this. The devil's schemes has one person, is to keep you, if you've never put your faith in Christ, it is to keep you from seeing the truth and the beauty of what Jesus did in the cross to rescue you from your sin. If you are a Christian, it is to keep you from trusting in the truth of Jesus and the beauty of what he has done in the cross so that you are faithful to him. And so his desire, if you're a Christian, is to lead you astray, as Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3, from a sincere and complete or pure devotion to Christ. The devil whittles away at your desire for Christ, your commitment to Christ, your faith in Christ, until you see sin as better and more pleasurable than Christ. See, because every sin you and I do is because we want to do it, because we choose to do it, because we believe that it will be more satisfying than Jesus, that it will give us what we want because Jesus is holding out on us. Because it's more satisfying than the satisfaction we may or may not be experiencing in Christ. What Satan does when he whittles away at your desire and your faith in Christ is he wants you to see Christ as no longer a treasure, and that thing he puts before you as a greater treasure. But here's the deal. Satan never makes us do anything. You cannot blame Satan for your sinful choices. Because Satan is only exploiting your weakness or your inclination that's already there within you, those deceitful desires, as we saw in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 23 through 25. Satan uses any number of ways to lead you astray from devotion to Christ. It can be false teaching, which is rampant in the church and rampant in Homer. Deception and distraction. Your phone. Facebook. The 2020 election. Or who maybe has won the election. He'll use disappointment. He'll use sickness and suffering. He'll use division in the church. He'll use hurt. Whatever your inclination is, whatever your weakness is, that he can put a wedge between you and Christ to lead you away from devotion, your devotion to Christ. So you need supernatural strength to stand against, to face your enemy, the devil. So the cruise ship, when he was really attacked by an aggressor, the cruise ship was able to stand because its hull was reinforced, equipped for ramming. So when it was rammed by its enemy, its aggressor, its opponent, the cruise ship sank its opponent. Because it was relying on the strength of that reinforced hull. Can you imagine a Coast Guard ship ramming a cruise ship? I mean, it's like my car is bigger than your car. My car is faster. I mean, I can use something crude, but that would be crude. It's a, you know, you know, my muscles are bigger than your muscles, and I'm going to show you. Well, he did show them, and he just failed miserably. Second of all, we saw, so the first reason why we need supernatural strength is because we have an enemy who's the devil, who's a supernatural being. Second of all, we need spiritual strength because we are in a spiritual battle against forces of evil that are under the authority of Satan or the devil. Look at how Paul emphasizes the spiritual nature of the battle in verse 12. He states his case negatively, and then he states his case positively. And he says negatively and then positively because the negative reinforces the reality of the positive. Look at verse 12. For, or because we do not, this is a negative, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. That is, we do not wrestle in our natural human or against natural human enemy, but against positively the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. Paul describes three types of fallen angels, maybe four, but I think it's three. And then he sums up and describes them as evil forces. First of all, the first type of spiritual beings, fallen angels, are rulers. And they're just called rulers because they rule over others. Get it? They're rulers because they rule over others. No, somebody got it. He's talking about that they have a position of power and authority, so they rule over others. And then the second type is authorities, and authorities are called authorities because they have authority. That is, again, they are leaders, they have their spiritual beings who are in positions of authority, and they exercise their authority. We call this, so if we have an issue with a crime being committed, we call the authorities who come and exercise their authority. And third of all, he has a category type called cosmic powers over this present darkness. And this probably describes spiritual world powers or rulers, high-ranking fallen angels or demons. And you see, this would be what you see in, like, Daniel, when Daniel prays, and angel comes to Daniel and says, Daniel, God has heard your prayers. And I've wanted to come, but the prince of, I forgot, Persia has hindered me or kept me from coming. The phrase over this present darkness describes the domain they rule. This present darkness is this present evil age, as Paul describes in Galatians, this fallen world. And this is why humans are described as dwelling in darkness, or even, as we saw in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8, even described as darkness, blind to the truth and the beauty of Jesus. And as I said earlier, they are under sway of the power of Satan and his influence. And so Paul describes his ministry as preaching the gospel, as preaching to those who are in darkness, and the preaching is God shedding a spiritual light so that we see, that is, our eyes are open spiritually, so we turn from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to the power of God. And then I think the last term that Paul uses is spiritual forces of evil. This is a sums up the rulers and the authorities and the cosmic powers as spiritual forces in heavenly places. That's a term we've seen a few times in Ephesians, if you remember. The rulers and authorities in the cosmic powers are evil spiritual forces, and they're located in the heavenly places. And the heavenly places describes the spiritual realm that is not seen. You cannot prove its existence scientifically. You believe it because the Bible describes it. And if you're Christian, you probably have experienced it. So these fallen angels or demons are described in a way that describes them as an organized military-like hierarchy which we fight against. I mean, we could go on and on and on and describe and develop it, but time limits us. The reason why we can, you need to track with me here because this is going to get a bit dense. So you're going to have your thinking cap on. So put your phone away. Put all distractions away and think clearly with me. The reason why we can stand against the devil and his cohorts or his henchmen is because Christ has already defeated them, disarming them on the cross. Okay, quickly, if you have your Bibles, turn to Ephesians chapter 1, verses 19 through 22. This is Paul's prayer. And he's praying basically that we would experience God's power. And this is how he describes God's power. What is the immeasurable greatness of his power towards us who believe according to the work of his great might so that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in heavenly places. So now he's talking about that spiritual realm and that he's seated next to God in this heavenly place, the throne of God, which is in the center of this spiritual reality, far above all rule, it's the same word, and authority, and power, and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, this present darkness, but also in the one to come, that is the new age, or the new creation age. And he put all things, God put all things, all rulers and authorities, powers and dominions under Christ's feet and gave him his head over all things to the church, which is his body. Okay? So he's saying that the cross, when he was ascended to the right hand of the Father, he ascended above all authorities, all rules, that is, he has defeated them. Colossians chapter 2, verse 15 says that he has disarmed them. He has stripped them of their power through the cross. Let's look at chapter 3, verses 18 through 20. I'm sorry, 8 through 10. To me, though I am the least of all the saints, Paul's talking about himself, this grace was given to me to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Oh, that's the wrong one. Oh, let's go. Okay, so we're getting to it. And to bring to light everyone that is, what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things so that, he's talking about the gospel, and the mystery of the gospel is the reconciliation of Jews and Gentiles under Christ and reconciling us to Christ, so that through the church, through the preaching of the gospel, the manifold wisdom, that is the infinite wisdom of God, might be made known to the rulers and authorities in heavenly places. This was according to the eternal purpose that he realized in Christ. So the preaching of the gospel is the preaching of the manifold wisdom of God to those spirit beings, rulers and authorities and cosmic powers that he defeated in the cross. So it's reminding them and it's telling them, you have been defeated by Christ. This act of what I'm doing now is not just penetrating this world, but it is penetrating the spiritual world, and the demons and the fallen angels are being told once again, you have been defeated. I'm getting excited. Now let's look at chapter 4, verses 8 and 10. Just another way of describing it. I was talking about the uniting of the church and the giving of the Spirit to the church and the unity that he created because of the cross and the one faith that we have under one God and Father of all. And then he talks about the gifts are given. Then he says, therefore, he ascended on high. It's talking about Christ, talking about his ascension. And he led a host of captives. Who are the captives? Those rulers and authorities and cosmic powers. And he gave gifts to men. In saying he ascended, what does it mean but that he also descended into the lower parts of the earth? He's talking about his incarnation. He who descended is the one who ascended far above all the heavens or the heavenly places that he might fill all things. He defeated them. They acquiesced to him because they are powerless against them. Satan is a created being. Christ is uncreated as the eternal Son of God who became a man. He is God in the flesh, so his power is infinite, unlimited. He is uncreated, and so his by nature, he is more powerful than a created being. And the created being in all of his cohorts acquiesce to him because they are powerless against him. And so what happened in the spiritual realm when he defeated them in the cross because of what he did physically is connected to the material realm. Okay, now listen, this is where it gets a little dense. Christ defeated them and is ruling over them in heavenly places, but that is being demonstrated in the material world today as he rescues people from the clutches of Satan, and so they see the truth and beauty of Christ as we stand against the enemy and we remain faithful to Christ in the midst of his schemes. It's being worked out in life. And it will be worked out ultimately when he destroys and chains up and casts Satan and all of his emissaries into hell for eternity. And we live for eternity here on the new creation. Devoid of evil, devoid of sin, devoid of Satan. Who can no longer influence and distract or use his schemes to draw us away from Christ. So the victory is being played out in both places, in the heavenly places and in the material world. So for instance, we have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places, and we've been seated with Christ in heavenly places, which means that spiritually we are seated up with Christ at the right hand of the Father in the throne of heaven, ruling victoriously with Christ. That is our position. But practically, we live that out here as we stand against the schemes of the devil and remain faithful to Christ. Just see how those two fit together? What is reality in our position is practically worked out as we trust that victory that he secured for us. It's ours. I'm losing my voice today. So we also live in this present darkness, and while we live in this age, we are free. We live in this present evil age, but we've been freed from this present evil age. So we are to live, and we're called to put off the works of darkness and walk in the light, walk as children of light, because we've been freed from the darkness. And we do that as we stand against the schemes of the devil to turn us, lead us astray from faithfulness and devotion to Christ. And so we live out this victory by being strong in the Lord, by wearing God's armor and walking and standing in the victory that he has secured for us. Again, on one hand, we're seated and secure and victoriously with Christ in heavenly places. That's our position spiritually. But simultaneously, and if you like words, concurrently, we live victoriously in this life because of what he secured for us by standing against the schemes of the devil. And then Paul concludes in verse 13. Look at verse 13. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God so that you may be able to stand or withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Seek to be strengthened with Christ's strength for this spiritual battle, because you cannot fight this in your own strength. If you try to fight it in your own strength, you are committing spiritual suicide. Take up the whole armor of God so that you may be able to negatively withstand the devil's schemes and positively remain fully devoted to Christ, remaining faithful to Christ. So stand firm to remain faithful to Christ. So here's the point. Be strong in the Lord to fight the spiritual battle that we all face daily, because self-reliance, relying on your own human strength, relying on your own wisdom, relying on your own ingenuity, is committing spiritual suicide. Are you resolute? The cruise ship that was strong because it was reinforced by its hull? Or are you that Venezuelan patrol boat that sank in the conflict because it was not equipped or prepared or powerful enough to go up against the cruise ship? So which are you today? Are you the resolute or are you the negata? So as we come to the Lord's table, how is Jesus speaking to you? Do you recognize your need for supernatural strength? Do you fight the Christian life as though your life was really depending on it? So let's have the worship team come on. Let's just sit for a minute before the Lord and let the Lord speak to us from what I've been sharing. How is God speaking to you? In 1 Corinthians 11, 23 through 26, Paul writes this about the Lord's Supper. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." So let me encourage us, as we partake today, rest in what Christ secured for you by defeating Satan on the cross. Christ secured your victory, and that is to give us motivation to fight, because he has secured it for us to find strength in him. So take and eat today. Take his body, which was broken for you, and his blood that was shed from you, and eat and drink and find strength in Christ today. Practical way that you can live this out. I mean, that's just where we're probably many of us are. Do not despair this week. If it indeed is Biden has won, do not despair, because Jesus is on the throne. If you wanted Trump to win, and then second of all, if you wanted Biden to win, do not gloat. Seriously. Be gracious to one another this week. Be gracious to your opponents, to those who you disagree with politically. This is just a practical way that you can live out this command to stand strong in the Lord, so you can stand against the schemes of the enemy who seeks to destroy and devour and divide. So let's close with this doxology from Jude. Now to him who is able to keep you, each one of you, from stumbling, giving in to the schemes of the devil, and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time, now and forever. And all God's people said, amen. God bless you. Go out and stand strong against the schemes of the enemy this week.